I think it's been true of all of our speakers that you can say our next speaker needs no introduction. Especially true to be able to say that on the third day because we are hearing from them from a second time. But our brother Paul is well known in our Bible student fellowship and especially here out in Los Angeles. Delighted that he and Sister Mary can be with us at this time. We've enjoyed his presentations in the past, and today, as you can see, because you should all have a handout, Brother Paul is going to give us the map to heaven. Brother Paul.
Thank you. It's always a privilege to be here in Los Angeles. I don't get here too often. Maybe about four or five times I come to the West Coast. But L.A., it's been a couple of years, I think, since I've been here. Thank you, Brother Larry, for that prayer. I needed something like that. And thank you, Brother Michael, for that nice introduction. How many of you want to go to heaven? Raise your hands. Raise them up high. You really want to get there. I think it's unanimous. Everybody raised their hands. Have you been there before? Raise your hands. Nobody. Well, I then conclude that you all want to go to heaven. Do you have a map? I mean, after all, when you go somewhere you've never been, you go with a map. I don't know about how to hear, but we go to the AAA. And if I go to the AAA and say, give me a map to get to heaven, what do you think they would say? I think they'd call somebody quick. There is a map to heaven. There is. And those of you who are serious must have it. I think you do have it. I'm going to kind of formalize it a little bit and point out certain things that are necessary. After all, I don't think any of us has ever been to heaven. And even the scriptures, don't be too surprised, the scriptures is not too descriptive about heaven itself. What do we know about heaven? Oh, God lives there. Jesus is there. The angels are there. And we can go on and on with some of those things. But we don't really know too much about it. You know, that set me on thinking, what do you think is God's greatest creation? The greatest, the number one, nothing beyond it, that which makes God. Anybody shout it out? Man. The Logos. I think the Logos people got it. You know, he was... The Logos was the firstborn. We got that with Ernie very shortly. But I would ask Ernie, where did God get the substance for the Logos? You know, there was no universe. He was all alone. There was no universe. There was no materials. You don't go out somewhere and get a rock. Where did God get the substance to create the Logos? Who said that? I want to give. Beverly said that? Oh, Lynn, you get an A. And I can give A's, by the way. I have the authority to do that. The Logos, he got it from himself, from his glory. From his glory. That's where he got it. And when he says, this is my only begotten son, he wasn't kidding. And the same thing with the universe. Where did God get the substance for the universe? He goes, went away somewhere and picked it up some rocks and made the universe? Where did he get it, Lynn?
From himself.
From himself. Hey, you people on the West Coast are pretty good. Yeah. When God gives the divine nature to that very special group, he regards as diamonds and jewels, Malachi 3:16. Jewels, my jewels. You, hopefully, and me. Where is he going to get the substance for that? You going to go in with some special formula? Or will he get it from himself? I think he'll get it from himself. After all, immortality is the greatest expectation of the divine family. What is it you want to see when you go to heaven? What's the most important thing you want to see? You want to see the stars and the universe? That's kind of nice. I like that myself. But what is it about heaven intrigues you, motivates you with such intensity where you say, I will give all to go there? How about it? I'll tell you what intrigues me. To see God. I think that's the greatest experience. To see God. What a being he must be. We can't see him as we are, but in that time and with those conditions, we will be. Who's the second that you want to see? Jesus. But he's not known as Jesus there, is he? You know, we don't want to be like the Catholics. I don't know how many of you have ever been to a Catholic church. I went there recently with my wife's uncle that died, and we paid respect to the family, you know. We didn't participate in the ceremony, but we sat in the back of the church and observed. But as we came into the Catholic church, straight ahead, what did we see? We saw Jesus on the cross. Come on, Jesus is no longer on the cross. He fulfilled that mission. He's over with that mission. He's a different person now. He's not even human. And people are still making Jesus a human being. In fact, as the Catholic procedure continued, I remember the priest, he took the cup and he raised it like this. He raised it. He says, this is Jesus, which was the Eucharist, by the way, if you didn't know that. This is Jesus. Jesus was in the cup. We must stop thinking of Jesus on the cross or in the cup or anywhere else. He's a divine, powerful individual, the second most powerful individual in the universe. And I would love to see him too in the divine nature. I will want to see him and think, you saved my life. That's what I would say. I'm obligated to you. You saved my life. I'm ready to do anything you want me to do. And then the day before yesterday, we talked about destiny. Do you know you're living in the days of destiny? What you're going to do within the next 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, but short time, you are developing your destiny. And that word destiny means you will be in that condition for eternity, You will never change from there. You're not going to have a change in nature. There's not going to be any others coming along. The 144,000 will remain like that forever and forever. You are now determining your destiny. So that gives us another important reason for being in the little flock. The little flock, we always say, is the important reason is they're going to help the bridegroom to bring everyone back into compatibility with God. But there's another reason for looking for the little flock. You'll be in that never to change. Maybe the others will change their natures, but not the little flock. You will have immortality forever and forever. That's the reason why this little piece of 75 years you got, that's all you got. It's a nothing. 75 years is nothing. To give that to the Lord is peanuts compared to what he's going to give you. You know, there's a scripture in Colossians 3, verses 2 and 3. Been quoted often by many of the speakers. Who can't help but quote it again? Let me read it to you. That scripture says, set your affections on things above and not on things of earth. For you are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Set it up there. You're dead. Well, some of you say, I'm not dead, I'm alive. Can't you see I'm moving? In terms of your commitment to God, you're no longer, there's only one group alive, as I see, and I hope you'll agree with me. Only one group alive on planet Earth. Only one group, the Spirit begotten. That's all. All the others, if they're not dead now, they will get dead. They will be dead. So, set your affections on up there. That's where you're going. That's our vision. That's our travel. That's where we are. And where we will eventually be. We know so little of the divine nature, but we have to think about that because the scriptures say, think about those things up there. Forget about, can I say forget about your mortgage? Can I say forget about your credit card? Can I tell you to forget about your plumbing system? What are we really saying? If you devote yourself to these things, that's where you're going to land up. Later on, if we get time, I generally talk beyond what I have, you know. And if we got time, I'm going to try to tell you how to simplify your life. But one way to simplify your life is don't legally sign any papers. When you sign papers, you're committed to this earth. Yes, and I'm talking about mortgages and a poor plumbing system and credit cards. I don't know, maybe the credit card system will solve itself. But don't set your affections, your love, your time, even your money. They can't use dollars up there. We can hardly use it here either. But they don't take dollars up there. You can't take your dollars with you. You can't take your house with you. You can't take the beautiful garden you have, even the beautiful flowers, they don't have those things up there. If you're looking for a beautiful home, you ought to stay right here on planet Earth. If you're looking for flowers and green grass and animals, stay right here on Earth, because that's what planet Earth is all about. But up there, there's no houses up there. I'm not saying we don't have a home. There will be a different home. We have a capital up there, by the way. I feel certain that heaven will be the capital of the universe. Like Washington is the capital of the United States. Like Jerusalem will be the capital of planet Earth. Heaven is going to be the capital of the universe. And that's going to be our new home. So what do we know about the divine nature? We know it's life without end. So when Colossians says, think about those things, set your affections on things above, set it on divine nature. That's the greatest motivator I can think of. You know, you might say, what's so important about divine nature? Divine nature is similar to the nature of God. And of Jesus. And that's mind-boggling. The highest level of living, highest level, starts off at human. Then comes the angels. Then comes the seraphims. Then comes the cherubims. Then comes the archangels. Then comes the special angels. And so forth. And then comes the level of God and Jesus. You're going to go up there, skipping all these levels. Divine nature is life without end, nor can it ever end. It's the nature of never dying. Divine nature is a nature that never gets tired. Oh, I can't wait. I get tired so easily. Lots of energy. You don't have to sleep. Divine nature is to live in a paradise of beauty and holiness in the capital of the universe, which will never end, where we will hear music, not like over here. There's music in heaven, because the scriptures seem to imply that. But don't think you're going to hear Pavarotti up there. As much as you might like Pavarotti. You won't hear Pavarotti, because that's a human voice, and that humanity needs airwaves, refractions and compressions, which doesn't exist in heaven. So don't think of heaven, the contents of heaven, as you see it here on earth. You will hear God sing. The scriptures talk about God does sing. Oh, I would love to hear that. What an experience that could be. Divine nature will have skills and perceptions beyond the human skills. I like the one thing that it seems to imply to me. Divine nature, you'll be able to look at beings and know if Obama uses the word transparencies. You'll be able to have a transparency to see. You'll be able to see whether somebody's lying. What a skill that is. Because Jesus had it. And now as he's a divine person, he has it more so. So, you know, divine nature is something we ought to think about. That's what it says. Set your affections on that. I don't think it's inappropriate for you to think of, boy, I'd like to be a divine person in the divine family. And how about the rest of creation? You know, we live on planet Earth. This is nothing compared to the rest of creation. Let me give you some numbers just to give you a feel. The number of suns and planets in the Earth is 10 to the 43rd power. You know what that is, brother. 10 to the 43rd. 10 to the 43rd means one with 43 zeros. That's the number of items you have in the universe. The number of stars is 10 to the 23rd power. New stars are born each year, 10 to the 13th power. The Milky Way galaxy moves at the rate of 500,000 miles per hour. I'm not in error on that. You go 60 miles an hour, that's fast, isn't it? Or 70, or like me, 80. Mary's always saying, you're going too fast. And I keep saying to her, well, the Milky Way goes 500,000 miles per hour. The Earth weighs 6 trillion tons. The Earth travels around the speed around the Earth 67,000 miles per hour in 365 days. The Milky Way circulates around in a circuitous manner and takes 250 million years to make at least one cycle. Which means we haven't gone through one cycle yet. We're still on the first. I go on and on. We are at the edge of eternity. Even though 2 weeks ago, 2 days ago, I did talk about number of planets seem to be in a regenerative, restorative phase. Can you imagine somebody calling me here? I said it took anywhere from 12 to billion years to come to the planet Earth. That's how long it took to do the Big Bang. Again. Well, you need a map to get to this place that we've never been. And I have, in the pass out, given you an idea of this map. This is not my map. You know who designed this map? Anybody got an idea? Raise your hands. Who designed this map? Oh. You thought I designed it? This map was designed by God. Now, I don't mean it literally here. But this is a derivative of the tabernacle. The tabernacle. This is the tabernacle. I just did it a little bit differently, just so as you capture your interest. But this is the tabernacle. Now, you know what's powerful about the tabernacle? I would say the number one idea about the tabernacle that is can't be challenged, is that God designed it. Jesus didn't design it. Moses certainly didn't design it. Neither the Jews, the Israel. It was God that put that together. You know what that's saying? It's saying if you want to come up here where I live, you're going to have to go through this. Any of you want to circumvent this, you won't get there. So this map has stages. You notice on the left side, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And it says you have to change. Now, this is not a physiological map. It is a map of conditions. From 1 to 2 to 2 to 3 is that there are certain conditions. It's a map of conditions going from one stage to another. Your first condition is you are a sinner. A human sinner. That's the first stage. You see the second? you then discover God is drawing through Christ. You discover the cross, and you begin to live in two natures. You have two natures, the human nature and the spiritual nature. So you got two natures going on at the same time. And number three, you start living spiritual living. And then the fourth, you then have transformation, you transform. And the fifth then is the condition of being a spirit being. And the sixth is the divine world. That's where we're heading for, brethren, is the divine world. That's where we want to go. That's where we want to set all our energies and so forth. So the tabernacle is a shadow of spiritual things. The tabernacle was designed by God. It's a message of transformation. That's the essence of the map. Transformations. That's Romans 12, 1 to 2. You got to change. You can't go to heaven the way you are. Put it simply. As much as you love yourself. Look at the mirror. It's going to be gone. You're going to lose that face. You're going to lose that body. You're going to lose everything. You're going to get a new body. So there is this transformation. But in the transformations, it kind of overlaps. We're humans, but we have spirituality with us. And as we do more spirituality, unless we eventually transform into something else. You know, it reminds me of the parable of the dog. I don't know if any of you heard me on this. I think a couple of you may, but you know, I don't think you mind hearing it again. There was a dog one time watching the human beings. And the dog liked what human beings were doing. These human beings, they eat, they talk, they get around, and so forth. And so the dog says, you know, I think I'd like to be a human being. So he started inquiring as to how he could do that. Everybody says, I don't know. Finally, one old dog says to him, go down to the end of the field. And there, the great one will tell you how to do it. So there he goes. And he meets the great one. Oh, great one, can you transform me to a human being? And the great one says, not so quickly, not so easily. It can be done, but it takes time. No, I want to take it right away. I want to become a human being. No, you got to do it gradually. Oh, no, I want to. So the great one saw the problem. He says, close your eyes. And immediately the dog had a human form. And he looked at him and said, I'm a human being. And off he went. Didn't even thank the great one. Off he went. And he went to human beings because he was a human being. He thought. So he opened his mouth and he was barking like a dog. Now, can you imagine a human body barking like a dog? I think you'll agree, that's weird. So the humans that saw him were repelled by this. She says, I didn't want that. So then he began to feel the propensity to fall on all fours, and that's what he did. And so he would meet the other dogs. Well, they all saw him barking. They says, that's our friend. Look, he's listening. Listen to his barking. But they saw his body was human. Hey, that's weird. They were repelled. So he went back to the great one. He says, this is not what I want. He says, I didn't think it was what you wanted. How can I do it? He says, well, it takes a few steps. First, you got to transform your mind. You got to think on those things which are human. You got to think like a human being. Keep thinking like a human being. Ponder upon the human principles. Ponder what it is to be human. And then little by little, you'll be converting yourself. And so the dog says, all right. And then the great one says, when you do that enough, come back here, I'll give you a human body. But you're already. Now, the value of the parable is not dogs becoming human beings, but human beings becoming spirit beings. How are you going to be a spirit being? The way you are is to change your mind. Start thinking about spiritual things. That's what the scriptures say. Set your affections on things above and not on things of earth. You're going to leave earth behind. And when the time comes, you'll be ready. We talked about the simple life. You've got to get back into the simple life. The complicated human life is not thinking about heavenly things. It's thinking about human things. How can we practice a simple life? Do one thing at a time. Don't do a half a dozen. Be reluctant to signing anything that's legal. Because when you sign something, when you sign the 30-year mortgage, you are connected. Be satisfied with human stretches and growth. Don't be satisfied, but be satisfied with spiritual stretches and growth. Let the past, let go of the past, let go of the other commitments. And the thing that what you must center in and focus on is the principles of divine nature. What will convert you in your brain is the practice of divine principles. When you start practicing that, you're starting to change. You're starting to develop that nature within you. For example, we hear a lot about love. We heard a lot about it, this convention, love. But there are three levels of love. There's the human level of love, there's the spiritual level of love, and there's the divine level of love. The human level of love is give help when needed. Give help when needed. That's love your neighbor, Romans 13:9-10. The spiritual level of love is give help to strangers. But divine level of love is do not take revenge on anything. That's the level of divine love. That's loving your enemies. The way you love your enemies is you don't take revenge. But if you want to get even, then you're not in the divine practice. God doesn't get himself even. Service, the same thing with service. There is a divine level of service and there's a human level of service. Only those who serve you, you will do a reaction, and that's human. But divine would be to go beyond that which is human. So, the map to heaven is a series of transformations. There's nothing to do with a bus or the American Airlines or getting on a ship or anything like that. Nothing to do with that. But it got a lot to do with what's up here. A series of transformations. It isn't just transformation. It's a series of them with certain plateaus. I wish we had time to develop that idea. But that's how you will get into the divine nature. Is first change your mentality. Then God will take your new creature and transplant it to a body, a divine body. You know, the parable of the wise and foolish virgin, when the door was shut, the virgins that were not wise rapped at the door and said, "Lord, Lord, open to us." Wasn't that interesting what he said? He says, "I know you not. I know you not." How could Jesus say, "I know you not," if they were virgins waiting for the bridegroom? What he was saying was, your condition disqualifies you. Jesus is not going to disqualify you. You disqualify yourself. You must continually change your mind with divine principles ready for a change. I see the chairman is here. I got to give you the story of the eagle and the turkeys. We're all turkeys. You all have the heart of a turkey. This naturalist one day was walking through the woods, and as he was walking, he came upon this farm. It was a turkey farm. And he saw all these turkeys eating and gobbling. But as he looked carefully, he saw a small eagle there. He says, "There's an eagle in there. I bet the farmer doesn't even know that." So he went to the farmer. He says, "Did you know you had an eagle in the pen?" He says, "Oh, yeah, I know him. He's a turkey." "No, he's an eagle. He has the heart of an eagle." "Nah, he just wants to eat and gobble." So the naturalist says, "Let me show you." They go into the pen, they pick up the eagle, the small eagle, and the naturalist puts it on his arm and he says, "Eagle, eagle, thou art an eagle. Spread thy wings and fly." The eagle looked around, saw the turkeys eating and gobbling. One lunge, he went right back to where they were. And the farmer says, "I told you he was a turkey." "No, no, so let's take him outside." So they took him outside the pen, went to the bottom of a mountain. And he says, "Watch this." So this time he put the eagle up. He says, "Eagle, eagle, I am an eagle. Spread out thy wings and fly." The eagle looked around, heard in the distance the gobbling, but couldn't see them. And he began to shake, began to vibrate. And the naturalist saw that. He says, "Come on, let's go up to the top of the mountain." And they went to the top of the mountain, and there was the sun rising with such brilliance. He put the eagle on his arm again. He says, "Eagle, eagle, thou art an eagle. Spread out thy wings and fly." Well, this time, he couldn't hear the gobbling. He couldn't hear the turkeys. You see what that scripture says in Colossians? Set your affections on high. And he saw the sun. When he saw the sun, a new vibration came in, new energy. It just filled him up, and with one lunge, he flew to the sun, never to be seen again. You have the heart of an eagle. Keep looking at the sun. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Paul. It's way too premature to talk about what's going to happen at the very, very end of the convention when we are all going to be concerned about what we're going to eat. But our plan is that at 5 o'clock that we will, those that are able, will meet together for food, and 4 out of our 7 speakers are going to be with us, and that includes the Malleys. So for those of you that are interested in in talking more with Brother Paul, you're going to have that opportunity tonight, beginning at 5 o'clock. Fellowship is an important part of the convention, and the program is calling for a 15-minute intermission, but I'm going to make a management decision and make it 30. So we'll begin our testimony meeting, Echoes and Testimonies, at 2:30, and it will be led by our brother Dan Wessel, and that will be for a period of 1 hour. So that'll go from 2:30 to 3:30. Then afterwards, we'll have, let us hope, as a slow cleanup of the room so that at 5 o'clock we can all meet together for food. So we're going to close with the last two verses of hymn 87. Last two verses, remain seated. Brother Paul will dismiss us in prayer. And then we'll have a 30-minute intermission until 2:30.
Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that Thou hast brought us together here in Los Angeles. We love Thee, Father. We want to do what You want us to do. We want to obey Thee. We want to be a part of Thy divine family. We want to learn from Thee. We're so grateful that we have come apart from the world and to this building. And for the 3 days, we are so grateful that we have gotten deeper insights into Thy Word. We thank Thee for the L.A. class, which has put out the effort to bring us together, as it is a special blessing on them, and a blessing on every individual that has come here and from great distances, that Thou will bless them so when they come, when they go home, they can think about the things we have talked about here and hopefully be re-energized and renewed in the Spirit. Be with us now as we continue our fellowship, we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Well, I hope your operations are a success so that you can keep